today on Real Radio.
For a standardized economic system to be introduced, I don't think it's going to be the yen, or it's going to be the euro, or it's going to be something else that rises out of a global economic collapse. I think it's going to be a brand new currency, and I think you and I already use it to some regard. I'll prove it to you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Thank you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called All About the Future Things, Part 4, continues in a new series called You Need to Know. God loves us, and it's His desire that we know what will happen in the future, not to scare us, but to prepare us for the amazing times that awaits every true believer in Jesus Christ. Our God has given us the most incredible book known to man, the Bible. When God began to speak to us, He often did so by foretelling the future. The Bible is unique from all other books in that it can boast of prophecies that have already been fulfilled and those that will come true as we head into future prophetic end time events. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that once the church is raptured or taken from the earth, there will be those who will pick up a Bible and read about the times that are no longer future events but are happening to them right now. The mark of the beast on either their right hand or on their foreheads with the number of man. And his number is 666. And now, in his message called All About the Future Things, Part 4, here is pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jerusalem's got no river, it's got no airport, it's got no oil, it's got no nothing there, but what happens there affects the economies of the world. Go figure that one out. Next slide. Now wait. Stop. Watch. Here's the sad thing about this. And here's the sad thing. And I should probably sit down and let our congressman tell us more about this. But you guys, at least those other guys, I think, had really good intentions about really trying to pull off peace. Okay, this isn't even on the table to wanna. I mean, right now we've done everything just about to mess it all up. And I'm not, look, please don't think I'm taking political sides. Before you label me somebody, I'm a monarchist. Okay, I want you to know that. So what is that? Well, go look it up. On the left is Benjamin Netanyahu, Barack Obama there in the middle, and Mahmoud Abbas on the side there representing Gaza. And what came of this? What came of this? Absolutely nothing. My point is every world leader has failed to bring peace to the Middle East. There's one who will seemingly succeed. You see, all of these meetings and these slides I give you today are just to show you how the world is being primed. And whoever's able to pull this off is going to have a tremendous effect on the world. He will confirm a covenant of peace. By the way, every one of those presidents that you just saw a moment ago, Democrat and Republican. Here's part of the deal. Okay, Israel, let's sit down at the table. How about you give up some land, and these guys will make a promise not to bomb you anymore? And you know, just give up a piece of land, and they won't bomb you anymore. I want the piece of this, and I want the piece of that, and I want the piece of the other, until we have the whole piece. Let's have peace. Listen, isn't it interesting? You say, Jack, how can you say such things? I'm supposed to, because my boss says so. Joel chapter 3, verse 1. Listen, Joel chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem..." Hello, look, you may be a full-blown atheist right now, but you got to sit up, right? You got to sit up and hear this. God says 2,600 years ago that in the last days, I'm going to bring back the Jewish people from all over the place. I'm going to bring them back to watch. To where? To what? Watch this. Verse 2, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I, look who's speaking. God says, I will enter into judgment with them there on account of who? Come on, who? God says he has a people. And if you have any doubt, let's just keep reading. My heritage, says God. What's the name of that heritage? Israel. Israel. Whom they have scattered among the nations. You kind of get the feeling that God is a little bit upset on this? They have also divided up whose land? My land. They have cast lots or played games with my people. You hear that? You know anybody today who's attacking and criticizing Israel? God says, when you do that, you're poking the apple of my eye, the cornea, that sensitive part. Isn't that heavy? Think of that. Do we not live in an age where that spirit is spreading? An antichrist spirit. That spirit is in the world today, and it's growing. And just think for a moment that the issue is God says, I'm going to put you in on trial, and I'm going to judge you. And the issue is this, nations of the world, you've dispersed my people throughout the world. Number two, you've divided up my land. Three, you play games, political games with my people like they were toys. Can you see God rolling up his sleeves? Because he says, you know what? You made a big mistake. I'm God, and it's my land. You thought it was your land? God says, it's mine. It's God's land. Think of that. And then this final closing argument. I'm not saying we're done. I'm just saying this is a closing argument here. This man that is coming will somehow, some way, equilibrate or stabilize a global economy. He's going to stabilize or equilibrate a global economy. The Bible says that this one that is coming in the future will somehow create a single standardized global, listen carefully, type of currency. This is bizarre. Listen, we'll talk a little bit about that here in the end, but he will somehow stabilize the global economy. Isn't it amazing? You and I right now, we have never known. Now, granted, maybe we know too much. Or maybe God has allowed us to know so much to know just how crazy things are in the world. But ladies and gentlemen, the economies of the world are absolutely messed up. You name the country and it's messed up. I mean, there's some countries doing pretty good. Canada's doing good. Israel's doing ridiculously good. But most nations are doing really messed up bad. And right now in all of the world, the dollar is the chief. But if that were to fail, if the dollar was to collapse, it would be so catastrophic. It wouldn't just affect the United States, it'd affect the world. For a standardized economic system to be introduced, I don't think it's going to be the yen or it's going to be the euro or it's going to be something else that rises out of a global economic collapse. I think it's going to be a brand new currency, and I think you and I already use it to some regard. I'll prove it to you. Watch this. How many of you write checks on a piece of paper when you pay your bills? Raise your hand. Keep them up. Don't lie. You're in church. Raise your hand. Raise the hand. Hi. Oh my goodness. Okay, how many of you pay either on your iPad or your smart device or electronically? Raise your hand. Isn't that amazing? See, what do you do? What are you talking about? Listen, we move money these days electronically. It's brilliant. Oh, by the way, I have an idea. It's not original. It's brilliant. You want to stop human trafficking? How bad do you want to stop it? You want to stop it bad? You want to stop terrorism? You know, look, if you dry up the money flow for terrorists, they're easily defeated. I mean, they'll still be crazy, but you can take them out easier. If they lose funding, they're in trouble. What other crime can you think of that runs on money? Prostitution. What else? Drugs. Thank you. The drug issue. Listen, change the currency, you change the world. If you begin to implement a system whereby it's only numerics, we're already doing it. I mean, look, I have lived in a cashless system. Listen, I raised two girls. I've been married for 36 years. I have lived in a cashless system for many years. Ask my kids, seriously, ask my kids, Dad, never mind. Numerical. The Bible says this man is going to create a numerical system of transaction. You guys, that will devastate the criminal world. That's a good idea, is it not? Think about it. Look, the enemy, Satan's not stupid. He's brilliant. He always uses something to get his feet in the door. And so the Bible tells us, and we'll have to end here in Revelation 13. And you young people, listen carefully. A numerical, cashless, cyber economy. And he, that is the false prophet, his sidekick to the Antichrist, deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. That's the Antichrist. The Bible calls him the beast. Telling those who dwell on the earth, that's not you, earth dwellers, to make an image to the beast. So who's going to do that? Apple, Microsoft, Dell, who's going to do this? You say, what are you saying that for? Watch how technologically advanced this thing is. Make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. That's a whole nother day to talk about. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, a cyber robot, biometric, human, half machine, half something. I don't know. Watch. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And listen to this, what's called a parenthetical insert. Holy Spirit says, oh, by the way, let me drop this in your lap. Here's wisdom. Now, you and I have the luxury of reading what we're reading right now. Can you imagine in the future there's going to be people reading this while this is happening? They're going to pick up their Bibles and they're going to read verse 18. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Think of it. You have a social security number. You have a phone number. 949-714-909. You have a prefix on your phone number. Numbers, barcodes. Have an interesting form of prefix, by the way. The number is on the outer part of the barcode. The other number is on the other end of that barcode. And the third number is right in the middle of that barcode. And it is always the number 6 on every barcode in the world. I just say that for shock fun. It's amazing. It's true, but I don't know what it means. But prefix. Can you imagine? 666. And you add it onto your driver's license number, 666, and it's added onto your bank account, 666. No one will be able to buy or sell without a prefix. And that prefix gives homage, pays homage, it identifies. It's almost like Caesar who said, who you had to say, Caesar is Lord, to function in the Roman Empire. Can you imagine people somehow having to deal with a thing? And think about our culture right now, our movies, where you look at stuff like this, where this this phone. There's a big thing right now with the NSA and what they know and the Patriot Act. You watching this on the news right now about your smartphone? There's stuff that we're finding out. It is wicked what this thing's doing right now. Never mind. But watch this. Somehow there's going to be an image. And that shouldn't fool you or shouldn't surprise you. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? An image was made of him. And what happens if you didn't bow to it? You were thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember that? Have you ever been to a communist country, which cracks me up? I have. They got 55-foot tall posters of the guy's face and all of his military regalia smiling at you like he cares. Have you ever been to a weirdo country like that? Where the dictator rules supreme? Every street you go down, there's another picture of the guy. And for some reason, his hand is always like this. Have you noticed that? It's a funny thing. What is that? I've been to Moscow. Right after the wall came down, I was in Moscow, and there's Lenin. Massive statues. The Bible says there's going to be some sort of a strange statue, and power will be given to the false prophet to speak into that statue, and it's going to be able to breathe, and it's going to be able to somehow assimilate some sort of human activity, some sort of human action. Us old people go, that's ridiculous. And the young people go, cool. Imagine that. And it's going to somehow be able to look to the masses and be able to detect who has the mark and who doesn't. And the Bible says, in the midst of all of that technology, Revelation chapter 13 says, this man will have people ordered. It will be mandated that those who don't have the mark will be beheaded. Isn't it amazing? See, Pastor, you're scaring me. If this bothers you, I suggest you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior right now. Listen, we're out of time right now, and I apologize for that, but don't leave. I want you to hear something. In fact, you've been sitting for a long time. Let's stand. Guys, can you cue this up, and I'll give you a little bit of background. And for time's sake, as soon as this is over, I'll dismiss you guys. How many of you remember a man by the name of Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey was probably one of the most amazing radio hosts of all time. He has a star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood, for example. And he has a Golden Mic Award. He's everything. This guy's amazing. And maybe you could listen to him on archives, but the guy's just brilliant. He's now with Jesus. He believed in the Lord. But Paul Harvey, he said something that you're going to hear right now. In 1965. I said 1965. And this is what he wrote. And you answer this. Was he being a prophet to our culture or not? Listen to what he said in 1965.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
1965. Is that amazing? How do you know that kind of stuff? By knowing the word. Very important things, yeah? Heavenly Father, we pray that today, if there's a heart, if there's a mind right now, a stir, maybe perhaps they walked in this morning thinking that your book is in a dusty relic, something brought out of a museum and into a building. Today they would realize that your word is alive, that you've told us the truth. And Father, that each and every one of us would be trusting you with everything of our lives. You've given us the ability to breathe. You've given us the ability, Lord, to think. And I ask you, Father God, that with what time we have left as individuals or as a church, we would go from this building today as effective lights and shining armor to invade the forces of darkness and to set at liberty those that have been bound by these lusts and by these perils of the soul that so many, including ourselves, at one time had no idea that we were lost. So Heavenly Father, we pray, God, that you would make us and this church a place where souls might be rescued, plucked from the crown of Satan, and placed into the everlasting arms of Jesus forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in his message called All About the Future Things, Part 4. Hey, listen, we're so grateful that we could be together today, and our prayer for you is that you stay encouraged. There is a future prize waiting for you on the other side of your pain and suffering. All About the Future Things, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called You Need to Know, a series that reveals the accuracy of the Bible and what the future holds for the Christ follower. And we will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, have you checked out Pastor Jack on Facebook yet? You'll find it simply under Jack Hibbs. And once there, you'll have access to his photos, videos, and updates on both current and future events. You can also join him for services and Bible study series. There's even a monthly Facebook Live event called Happening Now, where you can learn more about end times prophecy and how it relates to what's happening globally in our world today. So join the over 400,000 followers who subscribe to Jack Hibbs on Facebook. You can access it from Facebook or from our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.